Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, a minister once recruited four children to come up on the stage. I think it was probably because he realized that if the children were engaged, then the audience would be full. Because that's what we do sometimes. Sometimes we bring our kids up in order that their parents will come. So in any case, he brought these four children, and he had pieces of white cardboard. And on each piece of cardboard, he had printed one letter. And they spelled out star. And he was going to use them as sermon illustration. So he would preach from each and every letter. You know, S would stand for salvation, you know, etc. And so the kids, at the appropriate time, came up, and they stood by the pulpit, and they turned around and flashed their little cards, and the congregation broke up. They absolutely started laughing, because they had gotten the letters in reverse and it spelled rats. And that's what happens when we sometimes give illustrations that don't reflect the message of God. And when we try to get cute with the Word, God's Word stands alone. It doesn't need man's help to be powerful. And I guess that's the reason I always pray before I preach that I'll get out of the way. You know, people often give me credit for things that I didn't do at all. And they'll come to the church and they'll say, oh my goodness, look at all these people that are being fed, or look at all these things that are being done, or look at this, or look at that. And they'll try to give me credit. And I always say, I just try to get out of the way. And they think I'm kidding. They think that's false modesty. It's the absolute truth. I just try to get out of the way. I try to stay out from underfoot. My wife tells me I get underfoot all the time. And so when we have our meal every week, we bring people, and you know, whether they're 1,500 people or 1,200 people, however many people come to our food pantry every week, I just try to get out of the way, because there can be too many chiefs and not enough Indians sometimes. And at Thanksgiving, when we've fed as many as 2,483 people at one time, you know, over the course of the day, a sit-down meal, I just run around. People think, wow, he's doing so much. I'm just getting out of the way of one group and then getting out of the way of another group and getting out of the way of the third group. I just try to get out of the way. Let God do what God alone can do, which is why before I preach, I always pray that my words will not be remembered, that you'll only remember what God said to you, because in the end of the day, my words can't help you. Only God can speak to your heart. Only He can change. Only He can transform you from one kind of creature or another. I see pastors all the time. They're doing all kinds of gyrations. And I used to do those kind of things on the stage. And you manipulate people, and you get them to cry when you want them to cry, or laugh when you want them to laugh. That's not the same as having the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is who we need to listen to. And so I always pray that God will cast out my words. For anybody who might listen to my words instead of God. And that's the reason I try to be careful about the illustrations I use, because I don't want you going away thinking about the illustration. Sandra and I were at a theater that I worked at a lot, and they were doing a production of Galileo. I wasn't in that production. they had a huge set, and the set had a huge, monstrous globe that was in gold, and it was just all over the ceiling, and people walked away in my presence after seeing that wonderful play, saying, "Oh, the symbolism of the set." If that's what you walk away with, if you walk away thinking, "Oh my goodness, what an eloquent speaker," or "what wonderful music," or "what," then you've missed the point. The point is God speaking to you. Nothing less. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, forgive our sins. Cast them into the sea of Your forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Father, give us Your words of life today. Cast my words out. They're nothing. They're worthless. But we ask that You speak to every heart here. Father, we ask that You speak to our inner self, not to the body we brought here, not to the mindset we brought with us, not to the denominational tradition that we once have had, but speak to us. For I know You love us. You proved that when You gave Your only begotten Son for us. Father, we ask that You have Your way with us today, that Your Holy Spirit would penetrate this place. Penetrate Your Word, Father. Make it come alive for us, that we may truly understand what You would say to our hearts today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you look in your Bibles to Luke, the very first chapter. And Luke, the first verse. And we'll start with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one! The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relation, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The angel told Mary she was the highly favored of God. Wow. Wouldn't you like to hear that? Wouldn't you like to know that you're highly favored of God? Wouldn't you like an angel to tell you you are highly favorite of God, not just some talking head on television, but God's messenger, tell you, you are highly favored. Of course, you need to understand first what God's favor is. It doesn't guarantee peace or prosperity or pleasure or unending happiness. I know that's what God's messengers, pastors, and preachers tell you all the time. I can't tell you that because that's not what the Word says. You will receive the blessings of God. You know, perhaps you have received pleasure and happiness and all the great things because the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust, the Bible teaches. Highly favored doesn't mean receiving all of these things. God's love, of course, you may have received, and half you've received it and unwrapped it and taken it inside, you are truly blessed because God does love you and He wants you to know it and to live your life by it. But God's favor is a little different. You may discover that God highly favors you at the end of a heartache or of a trial or even a seeming failure. You may know that you are truly favored even when you're enduring something that everybody in the world thinks that you are not supposed to have, that they fear what you're enduring. You know, like Job, who had everything of God, and Satan says to him, Job has everything, but take it away. And he will curse you to your face. God says, no, he won't. Touch him. Take things away. Even when you're taking things away, God is saying, I still highly favor him. And Satan did. Satan took his things away, all the wealth that he had, and then his children, and then his very health. He took away everything that we would call favor. And then God said to Satan, now he has said to me, even though I slay him, yet will I praise him. He is highly favored of me, and I'm going to restore to him seven times what he had before. Favor is different. We don't understand. But even when we're going through difficult circumstances, you may look back and see that those circumstances have enriched your life beyond your imagination. How often do I hear people say, oh, well, we have a lot now, but boy, I tell you what, some of the happiest times of my life were when my wife and I had nothing. Huh? I remember a Christmas that Sandra and I were living in L.A., and I was just a struggling actor and just getting my feet on the ground. It was our first Christmas there, and we didn't have any money. And she made things for our little tree. We got a little tree that was a living tree. He couldn't put anything more than that in the apartment that used to belong to F. Scott Fitzgerald. You know, I used to brag about that. But it was a little tree, and Sandra made little things out of almost nothing, tissue paper and a little wrap and this and that and the other. She made a star that she cut out of cardboard and covered with material. That was one of the happiest Christmases of my life. Maybe you've had that. You look back on it and you say, yes, that was a hardship. But maybe it was one of the most wonderful times you ever had. That means that God highly favored you. God favored you in the midst of temptations and circumstances beyond your imagining. When you face hard times, the giants in your life, it's frightening. But many times, It causes us to cling to the power of God because it's the only thing we have left to cling to. That's why I say sometimes that I have felt closer to God in the ditch than I ever did on the mountaintop when I knew I needed Him. I desired Him. And He has always been there with me. No doubt, Mary, who was a young girl, a teenager, was truly frightened by this angel who comes into her life and says these things that are wonderful but very challenging. I mean, the consequences of the words are incredible to her. And yet, she was told she was to bear a child. In Luke 31, verse 31, it says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and breathe forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, Mary knew the history of the Jewish people. She knew that a Messiah was coming, that he would take away all the hardships and all the heartache of the people, and that he would meet their every need. He would deliver them from the bondage of sin, and they would know that he was God. She knew that. But the angel told her something else. In verse 32, he says, "He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Man, to be told that as a young Jewish girl in that time, you have to put yourself back into her position. Every Jewish young girl of her age would pray the same prayer every single day, desiring to be the one chosen vessel that would allow her body to be used by God to bring forth the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one of God. Every young girl dreamed of that. They wanted that so much. And they would say a prayer that Mary says in verse 38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She knew that God highly favored her, but what did that favor really mean? You know, it comes at a cost. God favors you, and He calls you out on a mission trip. And we have people here who've been on foreign mission trips, and they would tell you, and I'm sure Anda would tell you, that it wasn't all just a walk in the park. There were things she had to give up because she was in a place where those things did not exist. You have to be willing to go into a place and suffer. Whatever it is in that life that you have to suffer, it comes at a cost to be highly favored. God calls you. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go into your workplace with a Bible in your hand? It may cost you the job that you've worked your whole life to get. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go into a school and pray, even though you may be chastised by politically correct principal or others, and you may lose that job as well? Or are you willing to do that? You see, God's favor always comes with a cost, and you have to count the cost. Do you really think that Mary felt that she was highly favored of God when the realization was that she was pregnant, she was an unwed mother? And the consequences of that were that her family might cast her out, her husband might decide to have her stoned to death. Those were alternatives for her. She could suffer all of that, and there was a certain amount of shame. You know, 3 months, Joseph comes back to her, and she's pregnant. You think he didn't notice? Think she just got fat eating olives? What do you think? Unless God spoke to Joseph too and changed his heart, he might have said to Mary, "Go away from me. Depart from me. He could have done that to her eternal shame. So the favor of God could potentially come with a shame for you. You might be shamed in the eyes of the world and exalted in God's eyes. You have to be willing to be shamed in order to be exalted. You think that Jesus went to the cross not knowing that they would strip from his body every article of clothing? He was naked for us. There was a shame of that. He bore our shame on the cross, our guilt before God. Are you so much better? You're so favored of God, you don't have to do that? God did that to his own son. We believe that we're children of Almighty God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are adopted into that. But she was truly blessed. She was going to be the vessel of God's blessings to the world. She was, on the one hand, highly favored, but that favor cost her something. The angel said she was highly favored, so she must be. But there was still the reality of the world she had to live in. The favor of the Lord would send her on a long trek, riding on the back of a donkey all the way to Bethlehem. The favor of the Lord, the highly favored one, would be turned away from the inn. Sorry, highly favored one, you're not good enough for the inn. There's no room for you here. The only place you can go is this place that we keep the animals in, this cave. Go there. The highly favored one went into a cave and had to deliver her child by herself. Oh, with the help of her clumsy hands of her husband, carpenter Joseph. She had to endure that long night of labor pains by herself and then lay her child in a rough animal trough with strips of cloth, swaddling cloths, wrapped around him. The highly favored one. She was highly favored. She got a warning from God, and Joseph got the warning. We need to leave this place so that Herod's men wouldn't kill her baby. And so they fled to Egypt, and they couldn't come back until they snuck back in after Herod died and went to this backwater town of Nazareth. Little place. There were 100 people there. Everybody would have known her, but enough time had taken place that maybe the birth was going to be accepted because maybe they didn't know she was pregnant. Maybe. But her favor soon met up with reality. The routine of cleaning a little place in the side of the hill and sweeping out the dirt every single day, of listening to her baby cry and watching her husband work himself to the bone down in Sepphoris. And doing that day after day, going through the death of her husband, Joseph. The only one who had heard from God and knew the truth about the baby that she had carried. She, this woman, would suffer many things in her life. She would suffer because a highly favored meant nothing to Satan. Think it means anything to Satan that you're highly favored of God? It means you're a target. That's what it means. He comes after you because you say that you're highly favored of God. Because you feel that God has placed within you His Holy Spirit. But her child that she had brought up and hidden the things about him in her heart, her child was going to be rejected as the deliverer, rejected by the people he came to save. She was going to stand and watch his mock trial in the temple by the high priest, of which her father used to be a part of that group. And he was going to be tried illegally. She was going to have to bear that. The highly favored one was going to have to watch her son beaten. She was going to have to watch him delivered before the Romans. She was going to have to see him after he had been cut to pieces by the whips of the Romans. She was going to have to see him carry his cross to the place of crucifixion and then nailed to it and hung up like some wild animal to die. And she was at the foot of the cross. She was going to see his body taken down and place him in a borrowed tomb. Do you think she felt highly favored then when everything she had been told by the angel was going to disappear? Do you think when she knelt by that body that she was still thinking, oh my goodness, somehow he's going to still rule and reign like David here in Israel? Do you think she felt that way? Maybe you haven't felt that way. Maybe you felt like life has passed you by. There are times, I must admit, that when I see somebody on television or on theater, I think, man, I could have done that. I've done a lot better than that person. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like life may be passing you by? You ever feel like the time has passed, that Ichabod, the glory is gone? She knelt there. It was only after his resurrection that she began to see, and only then, as Paul says, through a glass but darkly, how favored she truly was. Her son was God. Her son would ascend back to his true father. You think this woman, who had taken her child along with her husband, to have him circumcised in the temple, do you think she had ever expected him to say, I have to be about my father's business, reminding her once again that no matter how favored she thought she was, he didn't really belong to her? What do you think Mary would think now, today, when she looks out of heaven and looks back 2,000 years later? 2,000 years later, she looks back and people all over this world in every language imaginable are expressing their love and adoration and worship of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think she knows that? Oh, yeah. Think she's one of the cloud of witnesses who knows that? Do you think she feels highly favored now? Do you think she feels highly favored when every child that has been brought before God knows the story of his life? She knows that they know that Jesus was born in a cave, that he was set in a feeding trough, that a star came and drew wise men who worshiped him and adored him. They know that he fled into Egypt. They know that he came back. They know his grew in spirit and in truth. They know. All kinds of Christians, young and old, know that Jesus raised the dead from to life again, that he raised the blind and gave them sight, that he took the people who were lame and let them walk, that he killed every kind of sickness there was, that he cast out demons. We all know that he walked on the water, that even though he never owned anything, he never owned a place where he could raise wheat, he never owned a fish factory, and yet he fed people with loaves and fishes, 5,000 and more. He know that. We know that Jesus died for our sins upon a cross. We know that. We know that he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. We know that. You think she feels highly favored now? Man, I feel highly favored. Highly favored that God love me so much that he sent Jesus to die for my sins and yours. You feel highly favored? This young teenage girl, she loved God. She did. And she was willing to give herself to God in that moment. And he took that moment. Oh yes, she would probably think about it years later. Oh, why did I do that? Why did I say yes to God? Because saying no to God will leave you empty, will leave you without any favor at all. But saying yes to God fills you with incredible favor. And a favor of God is greater than anything that mankind can possibly give you. If you are favored of God, you can walk in rags and feel the richest person in the world. If you are favored of God, you can have every kind of disease, but you know that by His stripes you are healed. If you are favored of God, you can lay a loved one in the ground and know that you'll see them again. Because to die in Christ is to live. Man, you feel highly favored? I feel highly favored. I feel favored that God loved me so much that He gave His child. You know, Sandra and I had three children. The first was born. His name is Christopher, which means Christ bearer. Christopher Travis, which means Christ bearer at the crossroads. I'm afraid he means one who was born under an ash tree, so at least he knows what his family tree is. But the day that he was born, and I was in the hospital with Sandra, and there was one of those modern kind of births where the father got to be there too. I went home and I read John 3:16 as I had never seen it before, because suddenly I knew a little bit of what it meant to give your only begotten Son, your child. I didn't love you enough at that moment to give my son Christopher to you. I pray I do today. That God gives favor to those who love Him and who serve Him and are obedient to Him. Today you have an opportunity to receive that same love and to receive the same thing that Mary received. You too can be highly favored. You too can walk out of here impregnated by the Spirit of God, who will fill you to bursting. But you have to receive Him. The gift's already been brought. It's been laid under the tree for you. All you have to do is say yes.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.